Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. Glory to God. We are on a series. You may be dismissed. We're on a series called Building Great Faith. Building Great Faith. So, our theme scripture, I guess it's somewhat of our theme scripture. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 12 says, talking about Abraham, the father of circumcision, of those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still circumcised. So what I wanted to pull out of that verse was the statement that we walk in the steps of faith, steps of faith. Steps of faith. So great faith, I said, doesn't just happen any more than a house just happens. It is built piece by piece, right? Step by step. There's this progression. And we looked through a number of scriptures where we saw that there were degrees of faith. We saw that there was no faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith, great faith. We saw in 2 Thessalonians 1 that our faith grows exceedingly. And Romans 1:17 says that, talking about from faith to faith. And so there are degrees or levels of faith, and we are where we are. I said we are where we are and not necessarily where we think we should be or where others think we are. So we are where we are. But that's just to let us know where we're moving from, right? Not where we're stuck. It just means this is where we are. And in order for us to know where we're going, we need to know where we are so we can move forward. And so we see that in Romans 10:17, talking about building great faith. So it doesn't matter where we are, whether we have no faith or we have little faith, whether our faith is weak or whether we have strong faith or great faith, that there's always a growth process. We're always moving from faith to faith, from one degree of faith to another. It's like walking up steps, walking. There's always another step. There's always another step. We're moving up, moving up, moving up. And so wherever we are, we're always wanting to increase. Amen? It doesn't matter where we are in this faith degree, we will never arrive. Which means even though we might have great faith in an area, it doesn't mean we have great faith in every area. And even just because we have great faith, it doesn't mean that that is the top rung of the ladder or the top step of the stairwell. Always growth. And why do we never reach the top? Well, it says here, Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, that means we are continually, or we can continually grow in faith. Faith can continually be coming to us, right? So we've never reached the peak of faith because there's always more word to hear. Always more word to hear. And as we hear the word, faith comes. As we hear the word, faith comes. As we use that faith, it goes. And so it's important that when we use our faith and it goes, that we replenish our faith tank, like a gas tank, right? We need to keep our faith tank filled up. So we must continually keep faith coming. Keep faith coming. So we've got faith to use, faith to work with, faith to carry us and to take us places, step by step. The steps of faith. Just because we took one step of faith doesn't mean that's all there is. Faith comes by hearing, so we can take a step. So we've used that faith in the step, so now we need to hear some more, so we're ready for the next step. We act on that faith. Faith came, we act on it. We do it, we take a next step. And then we need to hear some more, so faith can come, so we can take the next step. It's a never-ending process. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, I mentioned that hearing is not faith, and knowing the Word is not faith. Sometimes when we get the idea that oh yeah, I've heard that before, or I know that, James said that we deceive ourselves. He said, don't just be hearers. Don't just be knowers of the Word. Because the hearers and the knowers deceive themselves. He said, but be a doer. Be a doer of what we hear. Be a doer of what we know. Be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer or a knower, deceiving ourselves. So I said, what is faith? What is faith? Faith means to be fully persuaded. It means conviction. It means assurance, belief, inward certainty, confidence, being fully persuaded. Hallelujah. This is faith. Great faith is built or developed. Great faith is built or developed. And so that's what we're talking about, building great faith. So in our last service, we talked about, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We spent some time, verses 21 to 25, talking about great faith and its results are for those who want it. Right? Take heed what you hear with the same measure that you use, the amount of thought and study that you put into what you hear is how it'll be measured back to you, or the fruit that will be produced by what you hear. And we heard, Jesus talked about that it's verse 14, that the sower sows the word. So when he's talking about the seed, he's talking about the word. And then verse 15 says that the word was sown in their hearts. So the soil or the ground are our hearts. So Jesus reveals these two truths here and then begins to talk from that perspective. And our hearts, again, the Greek word and in the Hebrew, when it talks about the heart, it talks about two things. It talks about the spirit, and it talks about our mind. And so there's one of the things that we do with the Word of God is we renew our minds with the Word of God. And the Word of God is spirit food. So the Word of God literally feeds our spirit, right? The Word of God is spirit and life, Jesus said. And so it's faith food, it's spirit food. It literally feeds our spirit. There can be this sense on the inside when we hear the Word of God going, oh man, that's really good. Somehow I can sense on the inside that this is really good. And our mind still might be going, I don't really get it. You know, so our mind can kind of be in the dark. Our mind can kind of like be behind. Spirit can jump at it. And so our mind needs to be renewed. There's teaching, so our mind can be renewed, cause our spirit to be fed. And when our mind and our spirit are in agreement, then we begin to move. We begin to take action. Hallelujah. So, let's now pick up verse 26. Verse 26. Says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So again, we're seeing here a kingdom principle, a kingdom of God principle. And he says, as if a man or a person should scatter seed on the ground. So once again, the seed is the word of God. The ground is our heart and our mind and our spirit, our heart. And so this is a kingdom principle. This is how the kingdom operates. The word scatters seed. The word is spoken. The word is spoken. We hear the word, and it's deposited. It's deposited in our mind. It's deposited in our heart. It's deposited in our spirit. The word. This is explaining what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is that process. This is the process. We're talking about, how do we get it? How do we get faith? So what is faith comes by hearing look like? This is what it looks like. The kingdom of God is set up this way. Faith comes by hearing. We hear the word of God, and we hear it, the seed of the word. The word, the seed, goes into our heart, our spirit, and our mind. Faith comes. Now, if it's the first time, right, we're talking about faith, great faith. We're not just talking about just faith, a belief, but we're talking about great faith. So we're talking about being fully persuaded, fully persuaded. How to build great faith. See, so faith comes by hearing. But the first time we hear is not necessarily the time that we jumped out and acted on something. Faith came, but we still weren't sure. So we need to hear again. And more faith came. And hear it again. And after a while of hearing it, and then thinking about it, and meditating on it, and pondering on it, and speaking it to ourselves, see, faith comes, faith comes, faith comes. When we hear someone else speak it, faith comes. When we speak it, faith comes. There's two things that happen when we speak the word of God. Number one, we speak the word of God to get it in, right? Faith comes. And then when it's fully persuaded, we speak the word of God to release our faith to change something or to make something happen. But to begin with, faith comes. We speak to get faith in. We hear to get faith in. Why? Because that's how the seed is sown. We hear the word. We hear the word. And by hearing the word, it's being sown into our heart. So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Scatter the word into the heart, and should sleep by night and rise by day. I mean, King James says it this way, sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise night and day. I like that. Sleep and rise night and day. We just sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise. We just, day by day after day after day after day, what do? We just go about doing our own business. Sleep and rise night and day. Rise, do our day. Go to sleep all night. Rise, day, sleep, night, rise, day, sleep. Just this process. But what happens? What happens in our sleeping and rising night and day? The seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. We don't know how it functions and operates. All we know is that it does. A farmer does not have to know the specifics. A gardener doesn't have to know the specific detail of how a seed grows to make it grow. All we need to know, all the farmer, all the gardener needs to know, is that you put it in the dirt and it grows. It just does. You add some water to it, you let some sunshine on it, you give it the proper conditions, and it grows. It just does. So we just sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise night and day. And the seed is what? The seed is the word. But when it's sown, the word is sown, the Bible says that's faith. When faith comes by hearing. So when the seed is sown, when the word is heard, it's become faith. Faith comes by hearing. So it's not just that the seed is sprouting. We see that faith comes by hearing. So when the word is sown, when the seed is sown in the heart, when the word is sown in the heart, that the seed is sprouting. What's the seed is the word. And the result of the word being heard, the word being sown, is faith. Faith comes. So we sleep and rise night and day, sleep and rise night and day. And as we continue to hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. It's being built. It's increasing. Faith is coming. It does what? The seed should sprout and grow. Say grow. Grow. What are we doing? We're building great faith, or we're growing great faith. Faith is growing because of the word of God that's been sown in our heart and our mind and our spirit. Faith comes and it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. Why? Because it's growing towards, or moving towards, what we call fully persuaded. Not just partly persuaded, not just halfway persuaded, not just mostly persuaded, but we're coming to a place where we're fully persuaded. The Bible says in Romans 4, we read that during our offering, Romans 4:21, that Abraham was fully persuaded that God was well able to do what he said. Amen? God was able, but he was fully persuaded, not just partly persuaded. So the seed, the result of the word being sown, which is faith, faith sprouts and it grows. He himself does not know how. We don't know how. It just does. And we can even know how, but it's the knowing how. The knowing the how doesn't make it work any better or worse, right? The knowing how just means that we know how, but I mean, we don't have to make it work because it's a law. We don't have to know how gravity works. All we need to know is when we jump, we come back down. And so we're cautious about where we jump from. Right? And if there's a place that we don't want people to walk off because it's a long drop, we kind of put a railing around. Right? Why? Because we know gravity works. We might not know the details about gravity, but we do know it works. And it works for everyone, right? Everyone, everything. You know, we throw ourselves off, or you throw a rock off, or you throw a pillow off, or you throw a feather off, or, I mean, you throw the cat off. We all fall to the ground. The seed should sprout and grow. We don't know how. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. What does that mean? That means it knows what it does. It knows what it's to do. The earth yields crops. The earth produces fruit by itself. All the dirt knows to do is to grow whatever's put in it. It's designed to break it down so that the life can be released. You drop the seed in, it's got a hard covering on it, protecting the life that's in the seed. And the ground has been designed to break that covering down so the life can be released. I've heard it said that, that's why we have to treat a fence post and protect it, because you stick it in the ground will try to produce it. It'll try to grow it. But a fence post, you can't grow because it's not a seed. There's no life in it. It's the result of a seed. It grew a tree. But now this fence post needs to be treated, because the ground will continually work on it and break it down. And if it's not treated, then your fence post will fall over after a while. Why? Because it's literally been broken down. So it needs to be treated. Literally, the earth yields crops, produces fruit by itself. It knows what to do. But again, you know, we're not talking about dirt. Jesus is talking about dirt, but he's told us that the dirt represents our heart, our mind and our spirit, and the seed represents the word. And so the earth yields crops by itself. Our heart, our spirit, and our mind, our heart, it produces fruit. It produces crops. It produces results by itself. By itself. So we've got two sides of the coin here. The one side of the coin is people look at their life and go, I don't know why everything goes wrong. Why does everything go wrong in my life? The other side of the coin, why does everything go right? Why it seems like everything just seems to work right. Everything seems, why did this happen and why did this not happen? And why did this not happen and why did that happen? And why do these things happen? Good or bad? What? See, we don't have to understand in order to get results. But when we begin to understand, whatever's heard goes into our heart. And our heart begins to work at producing what's been sown. It'll produce the result of faith, and it will produce the result of fear. The ground does not care what's put in it, right? You put in a corn seed and it spits it back out. We don't want corn here. No, it just will produce corn. You put in wheat and it doesn't. It says, well, I want wheat. Give me wheat. Okay, it takes the wheat and it spits the corn out. No, the ground just keeps. Whatever you put in there, it will produce. Whatever's put in, whatever we hear, our spirit, our heart will work at producing. That's why if we hear something bad enough, long enough, our mind will accept it. And it'll drop in our spirit. Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about one of the purposes of our mind is to protect our spirit. It becomes the door or the gateway. What we believe is allowed in, and what we resist and don't believe is kept out. And I've heard this I mentioned this before, about children, that there's this period around the age of 12 and below that this gateway of the mind, it's not been developed yet. So they literally do not have the ability to reject or accept. So they accept everything, right? And there was the example about, you know, in the winter, the guy with the white hat and the white jacket and the belly, and I mean, he flies around the earth and delivers presents to everyone in one night. You know, They just believe that. Why? Because they don't have the capacity or the ability to figure out and reject it. And as I pondered that and began to think about that, I thought, you know, just even in regards to the Word of God, and it talks about that when we talk about the age of accountability, and it runs right around that same time. Why? Because kids may do stuff that's wrong, but they really don't know that it's wrong because they don't have the ability to judge right and wrong. They just, you know, and I heard someone talking the other day, you know, they cut their own hair. Who cut your hair? I don't know. You know, and they got the hairs all over their bed. Who cut your hair? I don't know who cut my hair. You know, the cookie, they got chocolate all over their face. And who ate the cookies? I don't know. They don't have this ability. But then there comes a point where the mind is developed to where all of a sudden now they are able to judge between right and wrong. And it's at that point that when we choose to do wrong and we know that it's wrong, the Bible says that sin, when sin came, the Apostle Paul says, when sin came, I gave place to it and I died, spiritually speaking. So there's this place. So we see here the yield, the earth produces crops by itself. It literally produces. So our mind, I heard Rick Renner just this week talking about that when he was going to school, one of his teachers nicknamed him Stupid. Called him Stupid, Stupid, Stupid. They didn't even call him by his first name anymore. Stupid Renner, Stupid Renner, Stupid Renner. Is Stupid Renner here? And he'd put up his hand, attendance-wise. And so all the kids thought it was funny. They called him Stupid. And then his guidance counselor in high school, he took the test in regards to what you should go into career-wise. And they said, you ought to dig ditches because, you know, you don't have any ability to learn. And, I mean, you're just not that smart. And he says, it's a good thing. I didn't believe them. Because he said, I'm not stupid. So just because we hear something a lot doesn't mean we have to believe it. Doesn't mean we have to let it get in. What do we choose to believe? What do we choose to let in? You can hear, he heard stupid, and then he may have talked to himself, or his parents may have called him smart, right? He chose to believe. We can choose to believe. Hallelujah. But if we don't reject some things, we can hear things long enough that we will think, right? You hear stupid long enough, all of a sudden you'll think you're stupid. And if we think we're stupid, then we'll start acting stupid. Right? Why? Because literally our heart will produce that result. It'll grow that fruit. It'll grow stupid results. And stupid results is it will take actions that produce stupid results. Well, that was stupid. Well, that was stupid. Well, that was stupid. Yes, it's true. But the earth produces, yields crops, produces fruits by itself. So we can choose. So when the devil says, you're sick. When the devil says you're broke. When the devil says there is no hope. We do not have to believe him. When he says, when the thought comes, there's no way. We need to know this word. We need to hear this word because when the thought comes, there's no way, we need to be able to go, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way. There is a way. I may not know the way, the path, but because Jesus is the way, I know there's a way. And the Holy Spirit, he will show me the way. Amen? He'll show me the path. Peter gets a question by some of the religious leaders saying, do you guys pay your temple taxes? Sure. But he's pondering this, thinking about this all the way back to head office. When he gets to head office, Jesus is sitting there, and Jesus says, first thing, Peter walks in the door and goes, "Who pays taxes? The children or the citizens?" "Well, the citizens." "Yeah, but just so we don't offend them, here's the plan. How am I going to pay taxes? How am I going to pay these taxes? I say we pay the taxes. How am I going to pay these? How do we get these taxes paid?" Jesus said, "You go, take your fishing rod, you go to the lake, and the first fish you catch, reach into its mouth and take out the coin and go pay our taxes. Every other time we see Peter in fishing, him and his partners are dealing with boats and nets. This is the way, because we want to catch a bunch of them. Because the more fish you catch, the more money you make. But today, Jesus had a plan, a different plan. Amen? He's the way. Lord, what's the way? What's the way to pay our taxes, these temple taxes?" And Jesus said, "Here's the plan. Here's the plan." And so he took his rod and he went fishing. He went to the lake. He threw it in. First fish. What does that mean? That means that God, that fish, before the hook went in the water, its assignment was to find the coin that someone dropped in the water. Someone dropped it, or an angel brought it. Either way, the coin's in the water, the fish ate it. It's a shiny thing, fish ate it. Why did the fish eat it? Because fish has an assignment. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees. That coin needs to get to Peter. And so there's this supernatural plan. That coin and Peter are not in the same place. Who knows how far that fish swam before it got to Peter's hook? But that's how God got the coin to Peter. Fish saw the coin, fish ate it. Fish swam and swam and swam and swam and swam. He's looking for a hook. "No, that's not the hook I'm looking for. No, that's not the hook I'm looking for." All of a sudden, "That's the hook I'm looking for." He just knew, and the fish bit that hook. Peter pulled him up, got the coin, and went to pay the temple taxes. Hallelujah. How do the salmon know to go back to the same stream where they were born? How do the birds know to fly north and then fly south? How do they know where they come from? Where do they go? God's got this something on the inside of them, and it's called instinct. They just do it. The earth yields crops by itself. The earth yields crops by itself. So, since the earth produces crops by itself, then we need to choose what we hear. And that's what we talked about last time. We talked about take heed what you hear. Take heed what we're listening to. And then the amount of thought and study that we put into what we hear. Why? Because that's the results we get. Why? Because that's what the earth does. The earth, our heart, yields crops by itself. It's automatically the way God has designed and created us. This is just the way it works. We produce results of what we hear. And so if we have heard the world's system, the earth curse system way of doing things our whole life, because that's what our parents heard and that's what they taught us, and that's what their parents heard so they taught them, and that's what their parents heard and taught them. Our children become products of who we are because that's what they heard, that's what they saw, that's what was put in them, that's what their heart then produced, that fruit, those crops. For the earth yields crops by itself. So now let's not get off topic and come back again. We're talking about hearing the word. Hearing the word, faith comes. And the word begins to sprout and grow. Well, the result of the word is faith. So faith begins to grow. Faith begins to grow. And it begins to, this is how it grows. The earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. So there's this process. As we hear the word of God, faith comes. And then it begins to grow. And there's this process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So there's this growing. First the blade, then the ear. Well, there's nothing in the ear, but the ear grows. And then all of a sudden, talking about corn, the full head of corn in the ear. It grows. And you notice when you peel back, you know, everything on your cob of corn and you look at that corn cob, it's not just one corn. No, there's a whole bunch of corn. You plant one seed of corn and it produces a stalk that has a bunch of these cobs of corn, and it's filled with corn. The result is the exact duplicate. It's a replica. It's exact same thing as what was sown. Right? There's no confusion about what kind of results you're going to get from the seed. You plant an apple seed, you always know it's going to produce apples. You plant an orange seed, it always produces oranges. Right? You plant wheat, wheat. Corn, corn. Potatoes, potatoes. Tomatoes, tomatoes. I mean, there's no potato, tomato. I mean, there's no mixing up. Right? They kind of sound the same, but they'll never be this. They'll never get mixed up. You put potatoes here and you put tomatoes here, and they'll do their thing. They never get confused. Carrots, cucumbers. It does not matter. What we plant is what we get. And so we're planting, and it's producing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So there's this growth process. And so if we want great faith, we're talking about great faith, we hear the word. We hear the word. And so what are we wanting to build great faith on or in? What subject? What area? What are we looking at? And because we're strong in some areas and not so strong in other areas, and there's some areas we have no idea because we haven't heard much or anything. And so we whatever area, we want to grow great faith in the area of healing. If we want to grow great faith in the area of financial prosperity, if we want to grow great faith in regards to the peace of God, if we want to grow great faith in regards to laying hands on the sick and they recover, if we want to have great faith in regards to worship and the presence of God or the power of God, if we want to grow great faith in whatever it might be, in love. Great faith. It begins by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God, because faith comes. And as we continue to hear the word of God, we're renewing our mind. And we're choosing to believe. I believe that word. We're renewing our mind. We're changing our thinking. And the word is getting in us. And it's beginning to grow. And grow. And grow. And grow. I remember that Brother Hagin would say this. Sometimes him and his wife would communicate with one another in regards to, let's pray about a certain situation. Someone, one of the kids maybe, I think one of the kids got mumps or got something like that. And he said, okay, tomorrow morning at such and such a time, let's pray or let's agree together. But all night long, he says, because I'm gonna feed my faith, right? I'm gonna take the word of God and I'm just gonna meditate the word of God in regards to healing or the healing scriptures, because I want what? Faith to come. What is he doing? I'm building up. Mentally, we can agree, but that's not where the power is. The power is not in the mental agreement. And that's why the disciples could not cast that demon out, because they had expired and used all their faith as they were ministering. And now they're just running on mental. No, I know what to do because I've done it. They were running on mental agreement, and they're no longer faith. They didn't set aside time. They didn't get away to build up their faith. They've been going, and they didn't fill up the faith tank anymore. Now they're just running on mental agreement, and there's no delivering power in mental agreement. There was no substance in their spirit to bring deliverance and freedom to that man's child. Jesus had to explain that to them. So the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, see, the full grain in the head is when the grain is ripe. That's when we're fully persuaded. That's when a stronghold has been developed. Well, we cannot be talked out of it anymore. This is what the Word of God says. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what the devil says. No, it's a stronghold. I cannot be moved off of this. See, now the devil can produce strongholds in our lives, and we need to cast them down. We need to bring them captive. Take captive every thought, casting down every imagination, right? And every stronghold. We can deal with strongholds of the devil, but it takes time. And we're going to get to that in a few more verses. We're going to get to that. Strongholds can be overcome if we don't continue to feed them. You can take a little thought and you hear it long enough and let it grow, this process of growing, and you starve out the big thought. The big thought will begin to shrink as the little thought begins to grow. So, positive or negative? But it'll work. If we take the Word of God and we begin to apply it to a mindset or a thought that we have, that we've thought for years and years and years, we can take the big thought and shrink it down by choosing the thought we want to have. Growing great faith. Building great faith. So, then we're fully persuaded. It grows and grows and grows until we're fully persuaded. And then what? And then we do what? We put the sickle in. Glory to God. So, the earth produces fruit by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Let's turn. We're going to come back here. So let's quickly just go to Mark 5, next page. Mark 5, 27 and 28 says this. When she, talking about this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of physicians and doctors and didn't grow any better but grew worse, when she heard, say heard. What happens when we hear? Faith comes. The seed has been sown. She heard about Jesus. She came in the press behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, and that Greek word can also be translated saying. And I think that's a better way to say it, saying. For she saying. What was she saying? If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So what happened? She heard. Faith came. But in order for her to become fully persuaded, she had to start saying. She heard, faith came, and now she's beginning to say. She's beginning to talk. say what she believes. So she's saying. Because she heard of Jesus, and she heard of the power of God, and she heard that when people touched him, power came out, she began to say what she believed. If I can touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can touch his garment, I'll be whole. And she kept saying it, and saying it, and saying it, and saying it. And faith is coming, and it's getting and growing, and growing, and growing. And her mind is being renewed, and her heart is filling up until she got fully persuaded. And when she got fully persuaded, it was time to take action. Amen? And she went and she touched. She received. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He wasn't ministering to her. He didn't pray for her. He didn't call her out in the crowd. She just snuck up, touched him, boom, made that connection with the power of God, and she disappeared. And he stopped and said, "Hey, who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Everyone's touching you." He said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of touch. I'm not talking about being bumped into. I'm talking about someone yanked the power of God out of me. And I want to hear a testimony. Tell me what happened. Who are you? Where are you? It's a woman. It's a lady. Ladies, look around. And she finally come out of the back of the crowd. She thought she could disappear, but she came. She fell down and she shared her story. And Jesus said, "Your faith made you whole." If her faith can make her whole, your faith can make you whole. Amen. Our faith can make us whole. Glory to God. So she heard, and then she started building on that initial seed being sown by saying, by saying, by saying, and then she took action. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 19. Quickly, we're just going to read this and come back to Mark 4. So keep your finger in Mark 4. Luke 6, 17 to 19. Luke 6, 17 and 19, it says, "And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came," there was a multitude of people, what? "Who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases." They came to hear and be healed. The healing was a product, a result of the hearing. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And when faith came, it was much easier to minister healing to them because they were in agreement. As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed or delivered. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for or because power went out of him and healed them all. Possibly that's when the woman with the issue of blood, she heard something. Hallelujah. And so, hear and be healed. So then we see that the earth yields crops of itself, first the grain, the blade, the head, the full grain in the head. And when they have, the grain is ripened, that place where faith has now developed to where we're fully persuaded, then what? Then we put in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. We put in the sickle because the harvest has come. So it's not enough just for us to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded is fully persuaded, but fully persuaded does not produce results. Fully persuaded is where we are literally on the edge of the cliff. We're ready to step off, or the tip of the hill, the mountain. You want to go down the other side, you got to get right over. It's not enough just to be on top, but now you gotta take a step, right? Israel had to, the priest had to take a step at the Jordan into the water. It wasn't enough just to come up to the water. We're gonna cross over. No, you have to take a step. And the moment they stepped in the water, it started to split. It started to split. So, then what's the next thing? When the grain is ripe, when we're fully persuaded, immediately it's time to put the sickle in. What's a sickle? A sickle is a sharp instrument for cutting crops during harvest, right? That's what the sickle is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in the New Living Translation says this, right? For the word of God is alive and powerful. New Living Translation says it this way. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Our sickle is the word of God coming out of our mouths. Isaiah 49, verse 2. Isaiah 49, verse 2. Isaiah 49, verse 2 says, and he has made his mouth like a sharp sword. He has made his mouth like a sharp sword. Right? You see that? Then King James, Isaiah 41, 15. Isaiah 41, 15. Says, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills as chaff. Teeth. Now my cross-reference for the word teeth says mouths. Mouths, like our mouth. I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Mouth, 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 mouths. Our mouths are mouths. Are the instrument with which we reap our harvest. Our mouth. Isaiah 41, 15. Our mouth. Our mouths are the instrument with which we reap our harvest. Our words of faith cut down the crops and bring in the harvest. Our mouth is the sickle. Our words are the sharpest two-edged sword. The sharp instrument. Right? Like a sharp sword to cut down. Romans 4:17 says that we're to call things that be not as though they were. The word call means to command or to order. We command our harvest to come. We order our harvest to come. We use it with our mouth, our words. We put in the sickle. We command our harvest to come. Matter of fact, Mark 4:29 in the Amplified Classic says, but when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. So now it's interesting, he puts in the reapers. Who are the reapers? Matthew 13, verse 39, in that parable, Jesus says, the reapers are angels. Matthew 13, 39 says, the enemy who has sown them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Jesus said, the reapers are the angels. So what do? As our helpers, right? The angels have been sent to minister or to help or to serve those who are heirs of salvation, Hebrews says. So as our helpers, we send out our harvesting angels. How do we release them? With our words. With our words. With our words. When we speak, we are either sowing or reaping. When we speak, we are either sowing or reaping. Amen. Amen. So we need to know then where we are. And we might be, because if we know where we are, we know whether we're speaking so faith can come. We're speaking so we're making deposits in our heart. We're speaking the word of God. Or we know we're speaking because we're fully persuaded and we're speaking to put the sickle in to bring in the harvest. And it might be funny because it might be two different things we're working on. One of the things we might be building our faith up in, right? We're making deposits to build our faith up. And another area, it might be harvest time. It might be we're already fully persuaded. So we might be speaking to one thing, releasing our faith to bring in the harvest. And the other thing we're speaking of is because faith is coming, because we're wanting that result. We're wanting that crop. The earth yields crops by itself. So we're wanting that crop, but we're not fully persuaded yet. So we're speaking and hearing to grow our faith, to build our faith in that area, but we've already built our faith in this area, so we might be speaking this way as a sickle and speaking this way as a sowing. So we speak the word. When we speak, we're either sowing or reaping. Sowing or reaping. Amen? So it's good to know where we're at. Sowing, I'm saying, because I'm wanting to continue to build, and then when we're fully persuaded, time, the Holy Ghost will let us know. It's time. Call in the harvest. Call in the harvest. Call in the harvest. And in calling in the harvest, that's when we, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive and we shall have. So we call in a harvest. When we pray, we believe that we receive. So we believe that we receive when we pray, not when we have it. We believe that we receive when we pray, and we shall have. Because we believe we have it now, we shall have it. We'll get it. We're putting in the sickle. We believe we receive it now. See, we're fully persuaded. We don't have to have it to know we've got it, because we're fully persuaded of what God has said. So we don't have to have it to know we have it, or to know it's ours. When we pray, we believe that we receive it. I have it. It's mine, glory to God, and I will get it. It's on its way. See, Peter fully expected to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth, because Jesus said it. He gave him the plan. So I'm sure he was excited. Fishing. I can't wait just to go, woo, look at that. It's just like he said. Every single time, it's just like he said. Just like he said. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you so much for your word. In your word, faith comes. In your word, faith comes. Hallelujah. And as we continue to feed on your word, we are growing. We are not stuck. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You have designed us to grow and to increase. I thank you, even as we said a few weeks ago, the promise is bigger than the problem. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. We take a hold of them and we are growing. We're renewing our minds and building our faith. And we thank you. We run the problems off. And we experience the promise. We're living the promise. We're enjoying the promise. The promises of God. The great and precious promises of God have been given to us. So we can become partakers of your divine nature. And by these great and precious promises, we escape the corruption that's in the world. We escape the curse. We escape every problem and enjoy every promise. We give you thanksgiving and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify and we praise you. We glorify and we praise you. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God.